impassive. But I'll be honest with you. We'd be making large-scale alterations within centimeters of the confinement bottle, which has to keep functioning perfectly the whole time we're working. We can't shunt the antimatter somewhere else until we're done. One wrong move and you won't need so many seats at the next conclave. Damn the next conclave, murmured Balcazar. Sky sighed and dug a finger between the damp edge of his collar and the skin of his neck. It was unpleasantly warm in the conclave room, almost soporifically so. Nothing felt right on this ship. There was an aura of strangeness aboard the Palestine that Sky had not been expecting, one that was heightened all the more by the things that were not strange at all. The ship's layout and design had been instantly familiar, so that as soon as the captain and he were escorted from their shuttle, he felt he knew exactly where he was. Though they were diplomatic visitors rather than prisoners, they were under constant armed guard. But had that supervision been lax enough for him to vanish into the ship, he was certain he would have been able to find his way to any part of it, unaided, and perhaps even unseen, exploiting his own knowledge of the Santiago's blind spots and shortcuts, all of which were probably replicated on the Palestine. But in nearly every respect other than basic topology, the ship was subtly different, as if he had awakened into a world almost but not quite correct in the most mundane of details. The decor was different, signs and markings in unfamiliar script and language, with slogans and murals painted where the Santiago had blank walling. The crew wore different uniforms, flashed with sigils of rank he could not quite interpret, and when they spoke amongst themselves he understood almost nothing they said. They had different equipment and they saluted each other aggressively at every opportunity. Their body language was like a tune being played slightly off-key. The internal temperature felt warmer than on his own ship and more humid, and there was a constant smell as of cooking wherever they went. It was not actually unpleasant, but it served to reinforce the feelings of foreignness he felt. It might have been his imagination, too, but even the gravity felt heavier, his footsteps hammering hard against the flooring. Perhaps they had upped their spin rate slightly so that when they arrived at Journey's End, they would have an advantage over the other colonists. Perhaps they had done it just to make everyone uncomfortable during the conclave, and turned up the heating while they were at it. Or perhaps he was imagining it. The conclave itself had been tense, but not quite tense enough that he feared, if that was the word, for the captain's health. Balcazar had become more alert by then, almost fully lucid, for the relaxant that Rengo had administered had been designed to wear off by the time of their arrival. Some of the other senior crew members, Sky observed, were almost as infirm as his own captain, supported by their own biomedical rigs and fussed over by their own aides. It was quite an idiosyncratic collection of wheezing ironmongery. Almost as if the machines had decided to meet and had dragged their fleshly hosts along for the ride. They had talked mainly about the messages from home, of course. Everyone agreed that the two messages had been genuine in origin, if not necessarily guaranteed to be truthful, and that they were probably not a complex hoax perpetrated by one of the ships against the rest of the flotilla. Each frequency component in either radio message had been subjected to a specific delay relative to its neighbor, due to the clouds of interstellar electrons lying between Sol and the flotilla. That smearing would have been very difficult to fake convincingly, even if a transmitter could have been dropped sufficiently far behind the ships to send the message. There was never any mention of the sixth ship, and the captain never alluded to anything